Okay, good morning. We are up to Shmuel Aleph. We're in chapter 3, Perek Gimel. And Shmuel has just received his first prophecy. Essentially, the prophecy was that I'm going to fulfill everything that I previously said that I would do to the house of Eli. His sons are going to die. Part of that was a curse that the descendants of Eli would not grow up to, it seems, past 18 years of age. And as well, he says that he swears. Now Hashem, through the in this prophecy, it says Nishbati. It takes an oath that he's going to fulfill this, and that when there's a nevuah, when there's a promise that comes with an oath, so bang it, Hashem doesn't take it back. And that's essentially the nevuah that Shmuel received. So let's pick up from Pasuk Tet Vav, verse 15, again of chapter 3, Perek Gimel. And it says, Vayishkav Shmuel ad haboker. After Shmuel's prophecy, which happened in the middle of the night, goes back to sleep, he sleeps till morning. Vayiptach es alzos beis Hashem. And he opened the doors of the house of Hashem, of the Mishkan, which was always the first thing that was done. They didn't bring the karbanos, even the karban tamid of the morning, until the doors were opened. Ushmuel yare mehagid es amara el Eli. Shmuel was busy as usual during doing his job to open the doors. He did not go over to Eli. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision that he had received. Vayikra Eli es Shmuel, and Eli called to Shmuel, Vayomer, and he said, Shmuel beni, Shmuel my son, Vayomer hineni, and he said, here I am. Vayomer, and he said, Ma hadavar asher diber elecha. What is it, this thing that he has spoken to you? What is it that the nevuah that you heard? Do not hold it back from me. Right? I think we read this last week. We mentioned that Eli was aware that Shmuel had a nevuah because Shmuel first thought that it was just Eli calling to him. Three times in a row, he hears his name called. He doesn't realize that it's Hashem calling to him, so he goes to Eli to say, to see what he wants. So Eli says, Ko yasel chayotim v'cho yosif, Hashem should do to you and to continue on you the same klala that Rashi says, what does Rashi say? Yeah, the same klala that I received, which was that I had children who were not proper. So you want to try that one? You're welcome here, but I think you'll like that one. So, what's that?
What's that one?
That one is 13 attributes. So Eli says that if you good morning. Okay. Where's John? All right. So he says that if you don't tell me, then you will receive the same curse that I received, which was not referring to the curse of the prophecy, but that his children didn't turn out well. And we mentioned that the words of a tzaddik like Eli are not to be taken lightly. And even though he set a condition, only if you tell me, if you don't tell me, then this will happen to you, that you won't have proper sons. But still, Shmuel's sons did not turn out proper, seemingly because of related to this curse.
Not because of their own behavior.
Both. I don't know. Maybe he forgot. Yeah. Then what? Then. But what happened there? Something happened there? Yeah. I mean, the Gemara brings it from here, but yeah, you know, it would have seemed to have been part of the tradition. Yeah. Maybe he forgot in the moment. So Shmuel, no, has no choice. He tells Eli all that he heard. He didn't hold back. And he said, Hashem hu hatov ve'enov yaseh, and Eli accepts Hashem's judgment. Hashem is the good, is you know, it's Hashem. He'll do what is good in his eyes. Vayigdal Shmuel, and Shmuel grew up. Sorry, 1 second. Yeah, okay. Vayigdal Shmuel, and Shmuel grew up, where Pasuk Yud-Tes, Vashem haya imo, and Hashem was with him, Velo hipil mikol divarav artsa. Interesting end of the Pasuk, and hipil means to cause to fall. Nothing from what he said fell to the ground, meaning everything that Shmuel said came to be. What does that mean? So, some of Farshim say, not only the things that Shmuel received as a prophecy, but even things that he said not as a prophecy, also Hashem made come true. Now, I don't know why he's saying things not as a prophecy, what kinds of things we're talking about. Maybe he just made it clear that he was just offering a prediction and it wasn't a prophecy. Advice, right? I think you should do this because I think that this will happen if you do this. But right, again, not misrepresenting himself as giving prophecy, but so his prophecies came true, his advice or his other things came true. That's one understanding. Others say everything that he said would happen to Eli came true. That's what I'm referring specifically to, that prophecy, as we're going to see in the next parak, that the things that he promised are going to come true. Others learn Elohim Mikol Dvarav Artsa means he fulfilled all the words of Hashem. Nothing of his words, of Hashem's words, fell to the ground. That Shmuel was very careful about following the mitzvah. I need to borrow this for a second. So Navi, the Mishpat of Zahav, commentary is authored by Rabbi Sheftel Weiss. So on this pasuk he makes an interesting connection. He says, right, what we're going to see in the very next pasuk is that that everyone's going to recognize Shmuel as a true nabi. So what is the typical process to confirm that a nabi is a true nabi? What are the types of things that a nabi has to do? So the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah says as follows. He says, when Hashem sends a Navi, Nosnim Lo Osum Ofes, he sends it with him a sign of some sort, that the Navi makes a proof of some sort, so that the nation will know that he's really been sent by Hashem. Now he says, not anyone who does this, do we believe him that he's a Navi? It has to be someone who we know from the beginning that he's fit for him to be a Navi. that he's a chacham, he's wise, and he's he has good deeds, and he's, you know, he spiritually rose above the rest of the people, and he was going in the ways of Nevuah with holiness and priestess and separation. And then he comes and makes the sign, and he says that Hashem sent him, and that people should listen to him. So then we will accept him as a Navi. But if a random guy who's a Rasha, or someone who's, you know, not even Rasha, but someone who's very simple and is queer, you know, he's not a great spiritual person, and he comes and gives a sign that he's a Navi, that we're not willing to accept, at least not right away. But this person, says the Rambam, since he's Gadol the Chacham, he's wise, and he's royal in the Nevuah, and he's fit to have a prophecy, so we accept him on his chazakah, on his status, because he now brought this sign as well. He says that's what we're commanded. Just like normally we need two witnesses to accept any testimony. But even though it's possible that they're lying, we still accept them. So here too, these are the rules. We accept the Navi if he is if he is already a person of high spiritual status, and then he brings some sort of mofe, some sort of sign to prove that he is indeed speaking the word of Hashem. There are other prerequisites, yes.
What thought does it do, Maimonides, to include the shlachter or the middleman from being a Navi? They bad people could be Navi, except that the proofs are different.
You're asking a question that we find that there are Rishayim who were Navi also, like Bilam, or?
That's what it seems to be. It says that they're already this, and you only have them in proof of that. If they're not so great, or less than great, are there a different set of proofs?
Okay, so it's a good question. I'm not sure. He's just quoting one section. I know in the in the Rambam's introduction to the Mishnayos, he also talks about this a little bit, and there he speaks about how what kind of prophecy has to come true in order to be accepted. He talks about how it has to be exact. There can't be anything that's wrong, because, you know, he says, talks about how, you know, people trying to predict the future in other ways are just making it up. They'll get some things right, right, but they won't get everything right. So the way that you know that a Navi is telling the truth is if everything is right. There's different things there. But for this purpose of this pasuk, so based on this Rambam, the Mitzvah says that we can read the pasuk now based on this Rambam. Because the pasuk first says, Vayigdal Shmuel, and Shmuel grew great. Which the Mitzvah Zav comments means, Bechachma v'yiras Hashem. Shmuel was great in wisdom and fear of Hashem. And then it says, Hashem haya imo, and Hashem was with him. And then it says, and everything that he said came true. So he says these are the steps that the Rambam talks about. The Rambam says first he has to be a great person already. He has to be a great person. That's Vayigdal Shmuel. And then he also has to be someone, the Rambam uses the word, that's Mehales B'darchei HaNevuah B'Kushaso B'Prishusa. He goes in the ways of Nevuah, in holiness and priestess. Not that he's a Navi yet. He hasn't given prophecy. But he's a person who, he's a holy person. He says that's perhaps what the Pasuk means when it says, Hashem Hayayimah. Hashem was with him. He was a holy person. He was a kadosh. And then, after he has those prerequisites, he comes and he brings a sign. Says the Mishnah Zav, it's very possible, it seems, that the Mekar of the Rambam, the source where the Rambam got these requirements, was from this pasuk. That's what he suggests. The pasuk is describing for us what it takes to be a Navi, what it takes for a Nevuah to be accepted. Vayigdal Shmuel, Shmuel became great. Hashem haya imo, Hashem was with him, he was a holy person. Velohipil mikol devarav arza, and he didn't miss anything, nothing fell to the ground, everything that he said came to pass. And then, indeed, the next pasuk says, pasuk chas, Vayeda kol Yisrael, Nidon ve'ad ve'er shava, Kineamon Shmuel. And all the people knew, from Dan until Beersheba, they knew that Shmuel was a Naamon, that Shmuel was trustworthy, and his words came true. Naamon is also like lasting the Navi LaHashem, as a Navi for Hashem. He was trustworthy, his words were lasting, his words were came true. And with all these prerequisites, they accepted him as a Navi. Chaf Aleph, Yosef Hashem leheiro'o v'shilo. And Hashem continued to appear in Shilo. Kinigla Hashem el Shmuel b'shilo b'dvar Hashem. Because Hashem had revealed himself to Shmuel in Shilo with the word of Hashem. And I think we even mentioned this last week, that once Shmuel received a nevuah, that opened the doors for nevuah for other people as well. We talked about at the beginning. No, because many of the Shoftim were also prophets, but he was definitely the greatest since Moshe and Yeshua. And even though at this time. The pasuk describes somewhere back, they didn't begin a pasuk phase, but it said that there wasn't much nevuah going around at that time. And the mefarshim there point to this pasuk, and they say, I think it's the Malbim, that the, you know, there was a lack of shefa, of overflow, of kedusha, whatever it is, you know, heavenly light coming down at that time, until Shmuel, like, broke it open. And once Shmuel broke it open, so then spread to others, and there was lots of nevuah going around at that time.
What kind of stuff, you know, were they prophesying about?
That other people?
Yeah, in other words, we don't have all the stuff.
Right.
We only have the big ones. You know, the temple's going to fall, that written down.
Right.
What were they prophesying about?
Good question.
Everyday stuff, you know.
I think there is some of that. People, in the time of the Nevi'im, if you needed, you know, advice, you went to the Navi. And, you know, just like nowadays you go to a Rav, you go to someone who has Das Torah, who has, they can give good life advice. So in those days you would go to Rosh Hashiva or a Rebbe, right? But in those days you went to the Navi, because the Navi was the, you had even better, you know, you had Nevuah. So there was the day-to-day, you know, visits to the Nevi'im. We saw him talk about this. Right, and they could have had other important prophecies that were important for their time, but not important for Doro, not important for future generations. What's recorded in the Navi, in the Chof Dalid, you know, in Sifrei Tanakh, are the parts, the 24 books of Tanakh, are the things that are important for future generations. Okay, chapter 4, parak dalet. Vayihi devar Shmuel l'chol Yisrael. And the word of Shmuel went to all of Israel. What does that mean? So, either it means just simply that his words were accepted all over Israel, or it relates more specifically to the next words. It says in the pasuk, "Vayetze Yisrael likraf Plishtim la'milchama," and Yisrael went out to greet the Plishtim in war. "Vayachanu al ha'even ha'ezer," and they encamped on the Eben ha'ezer, the stone of support, of assistance, which really is what the Mepharshim go out of their way to tell you that wasn't really called that. At this point, we're going to learn later why it gets that name. At this point, it wasn't called that. The Plishtim chanu ba'afik, and the Plishtim were encamped in Afik. Now, it gives no lead up to what caused this war, why they're going out to battle. It's not really clear. Very, very interesting comment of the Radak here. I don't know really exactly what to do with it, but he learns that by Yidvar Shmuel l'chol Yisrael, and the word of Shmuel was to all of Israel, means that they should go out to war. That Shmuel told the people to go out to war. And why did he tell them to go out to war? The Radak says The Tivo some Lapseis in order, he commanded them to go out to war in order, when he nagif with May Plishtim, in order that they should get stricken before the Plishtim, smitten before the Plishtim. Levisha Yuanushim the Chayavim Esam Mishpatazet, because they were deserving of punishment. And again, this is going to happen again. Fascinating idea. The Navi commanded them to go out to war, like basically tricked them, because they were deserving of punishment. That's what the doc said. No, it would not. It would not. I find it, it's perplexing, such an idea. But that's what the Radak says. The Radak is reading it into Vahid. What the reason was.
I don't know. The idea that a prophet would send them out to war.
Right, for that reason.
Sure that they get,
indeed. It is
in
the,
in the text.
Right, it is in the text that he could read the text that he sent them to war. Vahid Devar Shmuel of Israel, and the word of Shmuel was to all of Israel, and they went out to war. So I think the simplest reading does say that he told them to go out to war. Now, that was the reason is a totally different, Right, but it's one pasuk. So either it's, otherwise you're just reading it, which the other mepharshim.
Hold on a second. These are Christian printers who arranged the text.
Yeah. What do you mean arrange the text?
Yeah.
The psukim?
Christian printers.
Not the psukim. The psukim are not arranged like
what I was looking for.
The chapters. The chapters are.
Yeah. The chapters. Well,
but not the verses.
Right. Okay, but this could belong to the previous chapter.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't belong to the previous verse. This is one verse.
One verse.
In other words,
and
who arranged it into verse?
No, that's no Chazal. Yeah. Or no, not Chazal. It's part of the Nebuah. It's a tradition of all the Pesukim in the Torah are a tradition. We have a trup that's a tradition.
But that's his point.
That's part
it
of the tradition.
It ends with Israel, ends with Atma.
Right.
So it sounds like it's a division. That maybe that's a different concept.
Right. So I don't have the space. I see that you have a space and you have a space. So that's right. Yeah. No, I have that there also. But it is one pasuk. That's for sure. So
you're talking about the trope mark.
What?
Okay. So, Michelle, I'm sorry.
It's like a semicolon.
All right, so it's supposed to be a Navi, so you say, you tell him, go after the war, and then he gets killed, and then you say, what kind of Navi is this?
I agree that it's a difficult shot. It's a difficult explanation.
This gentleman, I'm sorry, I don't know your name. He points out that the trope mark on...
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's not the end of the puzzle.
It indicates that that's the end of the puzzle.
No.
The
it's
end
not
of the thought, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but...
It should be as if it's market that we're immediately transitioning.
No, I don't think that's necessarily true. This just means Vayhi Dvar Shmuel Kol Yisrael, and the word of Shmuel was all of Israel. It doesn't say what the word was, so it ends there. And then they went out to war.
It doesn't say what the word was.
Right, but the fact that it's in one pasuk and then they went out to war, it's very I think it's within the right of a of someone who's learning Pshat to say that those two things are connected. That what you said something to them, and then they went out to war, and you told them to go out to war. But, be that as it may, that's what the Radak says. He says it's going to occur again another time, which when we get there, we'll keep our eyes open, eyes and ears open for if there is a more, more explicit. We'll have to see when we get there. Okay, but at the end of the day, they are out to war. See? I'm not sure.
Israel has a period after Israel.
Yeah.
In English. Never mind.
Yeah, they're not... Most of the Mepharshim don't say like they're attacked. Most of the Mepharshim say that... like Rashi, right? Actually, Rashi actually learns that... that it's going back on what the word of Shmuel had to, and the prophecy had been to Shmuel, and this is how it played out. That's how Rashi learns it. Not, you know, he had promised that the Aaron was going to get captured, and he had promised that the sons of Eli are going to die, and the, you know, that's what Vayhi Dvar Shmuel L'chol Yisrael refers to. I don't know what the L'chol Yisrael is in that case. He learns it came to all of Israel. The word of Shmuel came to all of Israel, meaning it came, became fulfilled in all of Israel, and then it goes on to tell you how it happened. That's how Rashi and a number of Mefarshim learn. Okay. Vayarchu Pelishtim Likras Yisrael. And the Pelishtim gathered, or they arranged themselves to greet Israel in war. Vatito Shamilchama. And the war spread out. Vaynogeth Yisrael is made Pelishtim. And Yisrael was stricken in front of the Plishtim, by the Plishtim, by Yaakov, Amarocha, Basada, and they were hit in their formation in the field, Kabas, Arafim Ish, about 4,000 men. So Israel is losing the war. They've lost now 4,000 men. Vayavo Ha'omel Amachanet, and the nation came, they retreated to the encampment. Vayomru Ziknei Yisrael, and the elders of Israel said, Lama Nigafanu Hashem Hayom with the Plishtim. Why has Hashem stricken us today in front of the Plishtim? Nikha Eleinu Mishilo et Aaron Brit Hashem. Let's go get the Aaron Kodesh, the Holy Ark, from the Mishkan in Shiloh, the Yavo Vikirbeinu, and it will come within our midst, the Yoshienu Mikafleveinu, and it will save us, or he will save us, Hashem will save us, from the hand of our enemies, if we have the Aron HaKodesh with us. Vayishlacham Shiloh, and the nation sent to Shiloh, and they took from there the Aron of the covenant of Hashem that the Kruvim sat upon. And there were the two sons of Eli with the Aron, Chasni and Pinchas, the two sons, Chasni and Pinchas. This is how they are going to end up on the battlefield and killed, is because they go get the Aron, and the Kohanim will accompany the Aron to the battlefield. Okay. Let's pause there. I'm going to just tell you, the Aron's going to get captured, okay? So I want to just look at these two psukim. The Malbim tells us that these two psukim are describing to us four reasons why the Aron is going to get captured. So the Malbim says, I don't know if they're all explicit in the psukim, but let's see. So, first of all, because first of all, the Jewish people were not of great, so upstanding at the time. This, he says, is a time when they still had the Pesel Micha in Har Ephraim, wherever it was. They still had the idol of Micha, which we learned about at the end of Shoftim, where it says there that the Pesel Micha remained there. I don't have Shoftim with me, but it remained there until as long as the Mishkan was still in Shiloh, or the Aron, I forget how it says it, maybe he quotes it. As long as the Mishkan was still in Shiloh, that's how long they had the Pesel Micha there. So you still had this idol that people would go and worship in this place, not too far from Shiloh, actually. So the people of the time were not exactly of a great spiritual stature.
Could you read that verse you were talking about as the word of Shmuel went out? And then Israel didn't pay any attention to him, and they went. Didn't he just the opposite?
You mean he tried to get them to the tshuva? Okay, possible, very nice. Now, despite their sin, they don't recognize that there's anything wrong. They say, in Pasuk Gimel, Lama digafanu Hashem, why is Hashem tricking us? Now, what did we do wrong? So they don't recognize that they've done something wrong. And he says that itself awakened Hashem's anger. Quote Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, Hashem says, I'm going to judge you for saying I didn't sin. The person sins and says I didn't sin, they don't recognize their error of their way, so that, you know, gets Hashem angry. So that's one thing that the Malin points out. They said, well, I'm going to give up, you know, what did we do wrong? Why has this happened to us? And they didn't recognize their error. On top of that, related to that really, is that they didn't, like you were saying, do tshuva. They didn't improve their ways. He says they're like a sick person who doesn't even realize that he's sick and doesn't do anything about it. So they were involved in idolatry. They were singers, and they, instead of trying to improve their ways, they say, hey, you know, why did Hashem do this? And what's their solution? Nothing to do with themselves. Their solution is, let's bring the Aron, then Hashem will save us. So the Malbim says that they thought, you know, sort of like, Hashem has to save the Aron, right? You know, Hashem can't let the Aron get captured, and since he's going to save the Aron, so he'll save us. It's a great strategy, like almost like, you know, tricking Hashem, or coercing Hashem to save them. And he says, you know, he says that's it's ridiculous, and he says the Aron itself is, you know, is nothing if, it's only something if Yishmeru as a kosev bo, if they keep that which is written in it, in the Torah that was kept in the Aron, that if they don't keep the Torah, then, you know, the Aron on its own isn't gonna save them. They had to work on themselves rather than just, you know, pull out the Aron as a way to save themselves, right? It's like people will turn to all sorts of Kabbalistic solutions and all these things, and what? Yeah, the first thing is to look at ourselves always. You know, if we look at ourselves and we do a close self-examination and, you know, we really find that there's nowhere to improve, then we should start looking at other factors. But it's always, we first have to take a look, you know, introspect and see if there's something that within ourselves that can be improved. So that's number two. And number three is that they took out the Aron without permission. They didn't check, they didn't ask Shmuel the Navi, they didn't check, ask the Urim the Tumim, right? They didn't ask the Kohen Gadol to consult with the Urim the Tumim on the stones on his breastplate. They didn't do any of that. They just did it. Fussy and Pinchas seem to be on board, but we know that they're not the best people to get spiritual advice from. So that was their third error. He says that's why he points out that the Aron was Yoshev HaKruvim. It was sitting with the Kruvim, that it was meant to be with the Kruvim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I don't know if that means that they took off the cover and left the Kruvim there. He doesn't say that. But they took the Aron and they weren't supposed to. And number four is what's pointed out at the end of Pasuk Dalet is Chasi and Pincha. That it was also captured as a result of the sin of Chasi and Pincha. And that's why the Pasuk specifically mentions them, besides for, as I said before, that we now understand how they ended up in the battlefield. But we also, this is, the Malbim says, this is also giving us a reason why the Aram was captured was because of the sins of Buffy and Pinchas. It seems they were still functioning, you know, which was maybe part of the whole problem, was that they were still, you know, working as Kohanim in the Mishkan. You know, we talked about how Eli sort of rebuked his son. I don't know, maybe this is all part of that. You know, I would question how much they knew. You know, it's like, you know, they didn't have an investigation into, you know, Mueller and all these committees, and you know, they didn't know what was going on there. So I don't know. I assume that the people were not aware of the issues. Now they weren't. We mentioned the fact that they didn't really enjoy going to the Mishkan because of the different things that they were. Meat was taken from them, and the women were mistreated. They didn't really. We talked about how people, some of the farshim say, didn't like going to the Mishkan, and that's why they weren't going. But if they really understood the, you know, the depth of the issue, I'm not sure. Okay. Pasuk Hey. Vayehi, and it was. There is a Gemara that talks about it. I didn't see anyone mentioning it here. It could be it brings this pasuk that whenever it says Vayehi, it's going to be something bad. Gemara then asks from all the places where it's good, but yeah, I think it has to be where it starts. Where it starts the pasuk. But it's the beginning of Megillah. Vayehi bimei Achashverosh. It talks about it over there. But Vayehi kivo Aron brit Hashem el hamachaneh. And it was when Aaron, the covenant of God, came to the camp, by Yeruho he saw Trua Gedola, and all of Israel blew a great Trua sound, and the land shook. The Sabbath says that's just an exaggeration, the land didn't actually shake, but the point is that it was very, very loud. Why did they blow the trumpet? Some say just as an honor of the Aron. Others say it was a victory. The mom says it was a victory cry. The Aron's there. We're going to win now. And they blew a victory blast on their trumpet. Vayishmu plishtim es kol ha'trua. And the plishtim heard the sound of the trua. Vayomru, and they said, what is this great trua, this great sound in the camp, in the Jewish camp? And they knew ki Aron Hashem bar al-machaneh, and they knew that the Aron had come to the camp. So I don't think that necessarily means that they figured it out on their own. I think some of Harshim learned that they said it must be that the Aron came. Others say it means that they asked, you know, what's this great sound? And they found out that it was the Aron, and now they knew that it was the Aron that had come to the camp. Vayiru haplishtim, and the plishtim were very afraid. Imagine, you know, this is a plishtim, and they hear the Aron is here. We could have that kind of mora shamayim, that kind of fear. They hear the Aron has arrived, and they are frightened. Ki amru, because they said, Bo Elokim el hamachaneh, God, their God, the Jewish God has come to the camp. Vayomru, and they said, Oy lanu ki lo haisa kazos et mo shosham, woe to us, because we didn't have this yesterday and the day before. Meaning, we've been winning the war, but they didn't have the Aron here. Now, the Aron's here, now what are we going to do? And they continue in Pasuk Ches, Oy lanu, woe to us, mi yatzilenu miyano elokim adirim ha'ele, who is going to save us from this mighty God? Eva Haim Elokim Hamakim Es Mitzrayim Bechol Mako Bamidbar. This is the God that struck Egypt. So these are the gods that they're referring to. This is the God that struck Egypt, the Bechol Mako Bamidbar, with all these hits, all these strikes in the Midbar, in the desert. What were they saying? So, the Malbim says, first they were saying, you know, up till now we've been winning. But now that the Aram is here, quote, it's not like it was yesterday and the day before. Now the Aram is here, now we're not necessarily going to win. But not only that, Ayulanda, the next pasuk, they continue, woe to us, not only will we not win necessarily, but we might lose, we might be destroyed. Who's going to save us from this mighty God? And they say, we know his strength. We can't say that his strength is only specific to one area. For example, to bring devir, to bring like a plague, or to strike people with water. We know that he hit Mitzrayim, Elim HaElokim HaMakim, as Mitzrayim Bechol Maka. He hit them with all sorts of things. His abilities extend beyond just one thing. This God, he has a lot of tricks up his sleeve. He's got a lot of power. And we also can't say that he only is specifically powerful in one land, either in Egypt, maybe in Egypt he's strong, but not in the land of the Plishtim. We can't say that, because he also hits Mitzrayim in the Midbar, out of Mitzrayim, at the Yam Suf. So they were saying that he has power over different places, and they were afraid. So what was their solution? His Chazku, Viyu Anoshim Plishtim. Strengthen yourselves and be men, Plishtim. Ten Tavdu La'ivrim, lest we become subservient to the Jews, Kasher Avdu Lachem, like they serve you. I guess we were still under their, I'm not sure what that refers to actually. And be like men, and we will go to war. So the Plishtim were saying this to each other. Now what exactly were they saying? Malbim has another very interesting idea here. He says, the fact that in the previous pasuk they were calling Hashem Elokim, this plural name, and they were not only they were conjugating in plural Elokim Adirim, they were speaking in plural. So you see, he says that they thought that the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, wasn't the direct cause of what was going on here. He says, we know that that the early idolaters believed, Rambam talks about this, that you know, Hashem may have created the world, but there's no way that the God who created the world has anything to do with the world. There's no interest in this place, and he wouldn't have a direct relationship with people. So they thought that the power of the Jews came from Elohim, from various powers and gods that they gathered together, that they tapped into, and it's possible, they thought, that other mighty gods could defeat them, or even at times man can overcome these other powers that were in existence. He says, like we know in the Shirei Yevanim, the Hebraim, we find these ideas in Greek mythology, where people can destroy God, and that was their belief. And therefore they said, Hizchazku v'yu la'anoshim plishtim, strengthen yourselves and be men plishtim. As if they were saying, don't be like animal, you know, that just can't overcome God. Be man. It's within the power of man to overcome these powers and these gods. and that was what they were riling. They said, you know, the Jews may have these many gods who represent them, but we men can destroy the gods of the Jews and strengthen yourselves. And then they said, and even if we don't beat them, but at least we shouldn't become subservient to them. And and then at least they said, right, so they say, first they say, strengthen yourselves, be men, we can destroy their God. And even if we don't, at least we won't become subservient to them. Peng ta'abdullah ivrim kasher abdullah ten. Unless we become subservient. And even if then, even if we do lose, and we become subservient, v'yitzem la'anashim, and they'll have to still be men and fight. That at least we shouldn't go down without a fight. Just be like, you know, the comparison here is men versus animals. Animals are subservient. Animals give in. Rather be like men, and at least we should go down. We shouldn't go down without a fight. So they were really scared by the Aron, the presence of the Aron, and they strengthened themselves to go to battle.
What's interesting is it doesn't say they bought their statues along, Agan and the Kibbutz.
Right. Yeah, so I thought of that. I have to remember and see if I can find it again. Well, let's just read one more pasuk, two more pesukim. Vayilachamu plishtim, and the plishtim took battle with them. Vayinagaf Yisrael, and they struck Israel. Vayanutsu Yisrael al-Aholav. This time Israel fled to their tent. Vatiya mako gedola me'od, and it was a very big mako. They were stricken very hard. Vayipol miYisrael shloshim alef ragli, and 30,000 infantry fell from Israel. Va'aron elokim nilkach, and the ark of God was taken. Yushnei v'nei Eli mesu, Chofni Pinchas, and the two sons of Eli, Chofni and Pinchas, died in the battle.